Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not Ezekiel. I'm Dave Glisson. I'm just a lay member here at LUMC. In Ezekiel's absence, I'll be delivering the message this morning. Ezekiel brought us a simple but powerful affirmation of God that I kind of like. So let me hear you loud and clear when I say, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Father, may your presence here with us be felt by these, your children, one and all. There are numerous announcements in the bulletin. I won't point any of them out for you. I'll let you read those. And let's celebrate Christ with music.
All right. If you're able, let's all stand together and sing our praise together.
Comfort, O comfort, my people, says your God.
Our hope is in the name of the Lord.
Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term.
Come, God of peace, and be with us.
The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
Come, God of peace, and be with us.
God will feed his flock like a shepherd and gather the lambs in his arms.
Come, God of peace, and be with us.
Linda Stokes is going to share a few words with us about our budget for the rest of this year.
Good morning. As Dave says, I'm Linda Stokes. I'm the business administrator here. If you don't know me, that means you're a visitor and you have permission to ignore what I'm going to say. This is an amazing congregation, full of generous people. We've nearly paid off a $3.2 million education building. We support all sorts of other projects and outreach ministries. The thing that we struggle the most with is the operating budget. It's instrumental to the day-to-day operations. It's what pays the staff. It's what gives us lights in the sanctuary, gives us heat, gives us snow removal, which we might start needing soon. And the budget's set every year based upon the commitments that you guys make during the stewardship campaign, and then estimates that we put together based upon historical giving for those that choose not to fill out a commitment card. But unfortunately, things change. Circumstances change. Sometimes some of us fall behind our giving. And it's not unusual. Last year, at the end of November, when Pastor Katie asked me to calculate the numbers, what were we going to need before between then and the end of the year, I came up with $68,000. And I told Peggy, we're not going to be able to do it. That's more money than we've ever asked for in December, and that's just too much to do. And Pastor Peggy, as she always said in her wisdom, God will provide. And I still have my gas. I really did, and I was trying to figure out what the alternative was. And you know what this congregation did? You proved me wrong. And I couldn't have been happier about being proved wrong. You not only came up with that $68,000, but you actually committed or gave over $79,000 from the end of November to the end of the year. So we not only paid all the bills that we had in-house, we paid 100% of our major shares for the ninth consecutive year, and we increased our building maintenance reserve fund for, with over $9,000. And I'll tell you right now, that $9,000 was what was needed and was spent this year. But here we are again this year, and unfortunately we're up here asking you for extra money. This year when I ran the numbers, it was $75,000. And I was like, okay, last year you raised $79,000. You can do $75,000. I know you can. You'll see in the bulletin today that we still need $56,000 between now and the end of the year. There's four Sundays. I know you can do it. If you're behind in your giving, try to catch up if you can. If you've been blessed and can give extra and can give a 13th month or a 14th month like Keith and I are going to do that. Whatever's right for you. The point is, all together we make it happen. If we make that goal, we'll pay all our bills again. We'll pay 100% of our mission shares for the 10th year, which is unheard of in recent history for this congregation. As Pastor Katie said, God will provide. He'll provide for you and me, but only if you let him. Thanks.
It's time now of celebrations and concerns. Keep Pastor Ezekiel in your prayers as he's still in Kenya. He returns on December the 18th. The most recent people on the concerns list, I believe, are Marilyn West, recovering from surgery, Charles Cooper, who's recovering from surgery, and the family of Danny Rarden for the death of her husband, CJ. Bow your heads with me while I begin us with a silent prayer, and then we'll go into the pastoral prayer and the community prayer. Gracious and loving Father, we need you in our lives. We need to be in community with you, to be a part of your family. Help us to see the needs of others and reach out to help them. Father, we pray for those who hunger and thirst, for those who are sick and downtrodden. Guide us to be your helpers in the world, to help those who are in pain and need. Help us to be a brother or sister to them, to be an ongoing part of your family, the family of God. And now pray with me the community prayer. Father, your love and grace comfort our hearts like the sun warms our face. It forever gently nudges us back to your path of peace and love. We know that we are born greedy and selfish, full of desire for ourselves and arrogance in our own ideas. We struggle, God. We struggle to see your light, to follow the path that Christ has made for us. We rejoice that your Holy Spirit is there for us when we follow our own self-centered choices. Help us to choose wisely, to come into your love, see the needs of others rather than the wants of our own. In this Advent season, help us see past the parties, decorations, and presents to remember the teachings and sufferings of your Son, Jesus. Through our acts of kindness and goodness on this earth, may we exalt and glorify him. Guide us to be a part of your family, truly loving, caring for, and helping all those around us. We ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's all stand again and sing our praise. Be seated.
since there were two different readings from the Bible, and I didn't get them printed out, and the screen up there doesn't work, I'm going electronic today.
Okay.
And since there's two of them, so our first is from Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and proclaim his message in their cities. When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal palaces. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." Thought that's what. Oh, did I read them backwards? Oh, yep. Oh.
Wait a minute.
It's been one of those mornings. Yeah, Matthew 11. No, Matthew 1, 1 through 12. Okay. So we'll read that instead. That's the nice thing about having this is I can back it up and find it real quick. So it's going to be a long scripture day today. An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And Judah the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Aram, and Aram the father of Aminadab, and Aminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph. I'm looking up, making sure he doesn't have a sign up there for me. And Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Salathiel, and Salathiel was the father of Zerubbabel. Thank you. Figures. I studied up on the other one and not all those names. Okay, are you going to tell me it's Isaiah 11, 1 through 10? Good, that's what I've got here. "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of God.
Hear me? One Sunday morning, the pastor noticed Jimmy, a 10-year-old, looking at a memorial plaque in the foyer. It was covered with names and small American flags on either side. Jimmy had stood there silently and stared at the plaque for quite some time. So the pastor eventually walked up and quietly said, "Good morning, Jimmy." "Good morning, Pastor," said Jimmy, still focused on the plaque. "Pastor Phillips, what is this?" Jimmy finally asked. "Well, it's a memorial to all the people who have died in the service," the pastor answered. Jimmy's voice quivered when he finally responded, "Which one, the 9 o'clock or the 10:30 service?" That's not quite as funny as how mixed up our scriptures are today, because the one that it even gets better. The one that that I'm actually preaching from is about John the Baptist. And so I'll talk about it enough that we won't go back and read the whole thing again. In Matthew 3, we meet John the Baptist. It was 3:1-12. But we meet John the Baptist, and John is, to say the least, different. He lives out in the country, not in a house, just in the woods. He eats whatever he can find. Matthew says, locusts and wild honey. He wears no real clothes, just a wrap of camel hair held on by a strip of rawhide. Now, we typically just brush this John's eccentricity off as not particularly mattering to the story of Christ. We don't generally think much about how different he really was to the people of his day. Let's put it in the context of today. If John was today, he'd be a homeless guy. He'd be living under an overpass somewhere. He would eat out of homeless shelters and restaurant dumpsters. He'd wear a Hillcrest housing coat that they threw out because the zipper was broken, and he'd have it tied on with a piece of twine, like the Nebraska furniture part people use to tile your mattresses on the back of your truck. John was not a mainstream kind of guy. He was not the Billy Graham of his time. He was very different. He was a quiet, relatively unknown voice crying out in the wilderness. And John was baptizing people. He wasn't the first person to baptize. The Jews had baptized before, but he was also talking about the coming of Jesus. John painted a very vivid Old Testament fire and brimstone kind of picture about not following Jesus, what it would be like. That part he was pretty clear about. He called the Pharisees and the Sadducees a brood of vipers, saying, "The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." Sounds pretty ominous, like we better get in line and pay attention. It's likely that some people came to hear John just because he was different, latest new voice on the scene. We humans are still very curious. We like to be entertained. And people have been predicting and preaching about the coming of Christ or a Savior for over 1,000 years. So that wasn't particularly new either. But surely some listened to John because they had the hope that he really knew what he was talking about. That he was right about Jesus, and he would be arriving, and a great change was in the wind. Those people would be right. Jesus was on the way. In fact, John's significance was that he was correct about Jesus. Jesus was, in fact, already here in the world as John preached. If you remember, they were pretty much the same age. John leapt in Elizabeth's womb when Mary visited her, when they were both about to become mothers for the first time. But as clear as John was about the perils of not following Jesus, he was pretty unspecific on what it meant to follow Jesus. Pretty slim on what the change would be, what the coming of Jesus would actually mean. And then, as Jesus began his ministry, he preached not about the fire and brimstone that John had threatened those who didn't listen to him, but instead, he preached about peace, about loving and caring for one another. It was, and still is, a simple but powerful message. Interestingly enough, we get one of our first glimpses of the world abiding in Jesus' teachings, not from John, but from the Old Testament scripture for this morning. Isaiah foretold a picture of this world over 700 years before the coming of Christ. Isaiah speaks first of the wisdom and understanding, justice, might, and righteousness that will be Christ. But then he talks about wolves and lambs lying down together, leopards and goats, lions and calves, all living in peace, even children playing unafraid among snakes. I'm reminded of a scene in Ghostbusters. Yeah, I mean, it just always... That passage always bothered me. But it was in the lectionary, and I'm like, okay, preachers have to preach to what's in the lectionary, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to think about it. And the more I thought about it, you know, all it is really is, I mean, it sounds a little far out there, but it's really just a metaphor for a world of complete peace under Christ's rule. The world that could ensue if we all lived by the principles of Christ. This passage about animals is intended to help us see a vision of what our human world could look like if we truly, completely followed Jesus' commandments to love one another, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, to truly act like and be the family of God. Ever notice how in November and December, everybody wants to work at the Johnson County Christmas Bureau and help out with the Hillcrest Housing Retail Center, feed the helpless, homeless, donate gifts for the needy, sponsor families for the holidays. Donations of time, money, and goods of all sorts spike in the month or so before Christmas. It's a time when we Christians think about the baby Jesus coming into the world. We think about the things he stands for, the things he taught us in his ministry. We think about love, peace, forgiveness, helping others, being selfless instead of selfish. Heck, folks that don't even normally come to church come back at Christmas. And I mean, all that's good. It's good. But what if we had the Christmas spirit year-round? What if we thought about the teachings of Christ every day? What if we donated to the homeless every week and visited the sick and helpless on an ongoing basis? What if, as people like to say, we put Christ back into Christmas and we just let him stay there all year long? Pause and think about what that would mean. It might mean that a little boy would offer to share his tuna fish sandwich with thousands, and somehow there would be enough food for everyone because others would follow his lead. It might mean that we would drop everything to go and help one person who had lost their way in Christ. It could mean a father whose son had already squandered his inheritance would be welcomed back home with open arms. You know all these stories from Jesus' parables in the Gospels. Beyond that, in today's world, what would it mean? It could mean that conservatives and liberals, that blacks and whites, Muslims and Christians, could live together in peace. We could all be a part of the family of God, loving, helping, caring for, and being in complete community with each other. Ever wonder why There's a Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, I believe it's because God is a social God, a God of relationship, a God of community. I believe God wants us to be in community with each other and with Him. He wants us to be part of His family. If we're going to be a part of the family of God, we have to be in community with our brothers and sisters in the world. We have to reach out and help each other all year long. If we helped each other on an ongoing basis, perhaps we could live in peace and even approach the world that Isaiah envisioned in the scripture for today. Heck, even Jayhawks and Wildcats, Chiefs and Bronco fans could sit together and agree to disagree. In order to be a part of the family of God, we need to pay attention to what Jesus is about and what He stands for, and not just at this time of year. We need to notice that He's coming like John preached. No way. He's here. He's in the world today, and He expects us to be in the world with Him, out in the world, helping others. When He said, "Do unto others," He didn't say, "Be nice now and then." It's not just Christmas that He's here. He expects us to be engaged in the world. Christ's message to us is to help people, to do good to others, be an active participant in the family of God all the time. To put Christ back into Christmas, if you will, and leave Him there all year long. When we leave here today, I'm going to ask you to take a homework assignment. It's a little bit like the step diagram that we use in the stewardship campaign, and we ask everybody to take a step up in their financial giving. I'm going to ask that we take a step up in our giving of peace, love, and help for others around us. Whatever special good you're doing in the world throughout the year, or you did this Christmas season, take it a step up. I invite each of us to go home and put it on our calendars next year for each month. Make a bit more time in our lives to help others. Be a brother or sister to someone in need year-round. Lending a hand to the needy. Visiting the sick and infirmed. Listening instead of thinking about what we're going to say next. And our assignment is due always. In Christ's name, amen.
God's children.
So we've said hello, now where do we go? We move at a pace set by grace in this place. As a family, we can be a team, sharing each one's joys, sharing each one's pain, sharing all our dreams, sharing our ideas, and then the world can see us live what we believe. Oh, God's children, welcome here. Oh, God's children, are respected here. God's children. Sometimes children fight each other, sometimes they get scared. Sometimes children make mistakes, sometimes they're not prepared. So let us in community keep listening to our call, remembering the nurturer who raised us one and all. Oh, God's children, welcome here. Oh, God's children, are respected here. All related, we must be all God's children.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow in your presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you. I bring an offering to you.
Loving and gracious Father, accept these gifts, tithes, and offerings as we give back what is already yours, entrusted to us.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in return.
just sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
As we go our separate ways, remember that you are God's children. May God guide us to care for those around us when they need us most and lead us to the places that He needs us in the world. Go and be the family of God. Amen.
This is Christ the King. Who shepherds God and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring Him love, the babe, the Son, the
Lamb. One star burns in the darkness, shines with the promise, Emmanuel. One child born in the stillness, lives.